question. You're listening to Dynamo's Dozen. With your host, Ian the Dynamo Kelly. Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that I bring you each and every single week, where I will talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, muesli, fresh socks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting the talc. This is Dynamo's Dozen. Ted Irving, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm very good, yeah. It's been a busy couple of weeks, hence why we've had a little bit of a delay on the last couple of podcasts, but it's okay because there is still some good stuff coming up, as you are well aware. Everyone knows at this stage that you're pretty much my right-hand man, so I thought we'd have a little bit of a podcast today where we can just basically shoot the shit and talk about whatever we want and whatever may be on our minds. There's a lot of relevant stuff going on at the moment between the world of wrestling, between the world of television, between the world of movies. It's been quite an emotional week for quite a lot of people, actually, between movies and television, actually. Endgame coming out, and then obviously Game of Thrones. We're up to episode 3, so we're halfway through that. So, people are looking quite emotional if social media is anything to go by.
Yeah, huge week this week now in TV and film for everyone.
Have you seen Avengers Endgame yet?
Yeah, I went to see it on Saturday.
Right, so basically today we're recording on the day that basically Game of Thrones episode 3 should come out. We will state that you have seen it already.
Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through. I'm on a bit of an emotional roller coaster so far. So we won't give any spoilers on this episode. I think next week I'll kind of go into it in detail again and see where it's going. But and tomorrow I'm going to go and see an Avengers as well. So yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff to be watching. And then I guess with wrestling, we're kind of getting closer and closer to the All Elite Wrestling pay per view as well, which seems to be what kind of a lot of people are kind of looking forward to more than anything. There's lots of kind of rumors and murmurings of people going here and people going there, and kind of everything's starting to kind of, there's a little bit more meat starting to be put on the bones of it, you know?
Yeah. There's been a lot of, I think that's probably the next big one. I know like WWE probably have a pay-per-view coming up, but I think that's a big one really.
It's the one, I mean, as we said, like, there's still talk about, you know, the TV deals and stuff like that. And that, to be honest with you, I think that would be more than likely announced either just prior to the show or maybe on the show.
I'd say on the closing of the show, they'll announce the weekly TV deal, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Just to make it more like a kind of a feel-good factor and just more real, I guess, more organic. That's what I would recommend anyway. Everyone seems to know that it's more than likely going to be a TBS deal, but I'd imagine they will announce it kind of on the show. There's been lots of kind of rumor and innuendo, I guess, on you know, the format of the show and the kind of logistics of the show and stuff like that, and of the deal, should I say. I think the best way to kind of understand the deal and maybe kind of quell any kind of rumors would be just to kind of send someone to another podcast, which the latest Jim Cornette podcast with Dave Meltzer, where they're talking about the Dark Side of Wrestling, the whole website, the TV series online, They actually kind of mentioned, obviously, during the Montreal Screwjob episode, that's what they're kind of mainly talking about. They kind of go into detail of how, you know, there's been a lot said of the kind of logistics of the TV deal. Dave Meltzer kind of pours some kind of cold water on it. So I trust Meltzer's kind of... I trust Meltzer and Finlay Martin more so to kind of have the details about that than you or me, you know.
Now, Meltzer is friendly enough with all of them, so he probably has better knowledge than we do on it.
Well, that's what exactly what I was thinking. And usually, like, Meltzer and Finlay Martin are usually pretty spot on with their kind of with the numbers and stuff like that, and how it works, you know.
Yeah, well, they have connections, you know.
Yeah. I, you know, as I said, like, I kind of knew through some of mine ages ago, as you were aware, I kind of mentioned the TBS thing a long time ago as well. So,
yeah.
And I didn't want to kind of give that away, any kind of sources on that or anything, but I didn't know the full kind of ins and outs of it. And plus, you know, this podcast isn't based on that kind of information anyway. So,
yeah, really.
That I'd leave it up to guys that have been doing it for 20 plus years. To kind of reveal that, so, but I'm looking forward to it. Is there anything actually? Well, let's start with just a little bit of wrestling. We can move away from wrestling then for the show. Is there anything in particular on that show now that you're kind of looking for, or that you're looking forward to, or, you know, because I mean it's sold out now, as we know. Let's maybe kind of delve into maybe the show format first and the matches. And then maybe look at the pay-per-view logistics of it and what we think they may be looking for from that side of things, you know?
Yeah. I think they've sold out already.
They have, yeah.
So that's obviously a good starting point for them. And based on their last show, I'd say they'll do good numbers on pay-per-view sales as well.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, in a world where pay-per-view is starting, I mean, it's almost like, you know, it's almost like a thing that Vince McMahon almost created in terms of pay-per-view, but now it's obviously not such a big deal, especially with the WWE figures coming out there last week. It shows
that, yeah,
it's all TV now. It's TV or nothing, you know what I mean?
He's also getting it himself with the network.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's better for everyone, I think, the network. It's cheaper as well.
Well, it is better for everyone, and it's a thing where, you know, a cheap plug, you know, $12.99 in Europe, $9.99 in America. There you go. Can't really go wrong. But I think it's also a thing where it's just, you know, the world has evolved to a point where you're looking at Netflix being able to kind of get some absolutely top-notch Hollywood A-listers to do movies that are just for Netflix or TV shows that are just for Netflix. It's gone from the pay-per-view thing. It almost is a throwback to the days of WCW, where WCW didn't really care about their pay-per-view numbers because they had such a strong TV deal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like WWE had I think Spike, from according to Meltzer anyway, I'm not going to take credit for this information, but according to Meltzer, like Spike kind of upped the game a little bit initially when they took it from USA Network, but they were only making $5 million, you know, on that TV deal initially, which wasn't
the
amount of money. So WWE, they basically had to generate their revenue stream from obviously their house shows, but then their pay-per-views were their big thing, hence why their pay-per-views back then were so fucking incredible in a lot of ways, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they really put the effort into the pay-per-views then.
Yeah, whereas WCW had such a strong TV deal, so they didn't really give a shit about the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, well, the network owned the wrestling show, so they could do what they wanted anyway, you know? It's just crazy how it's kind of come full circle almost, that the pay-per-view doesn't really mean anything anymore. And that's hence why WWE have been getting away with a lot of mediocre stuff for a long time. But I guess the point I'm making now is that All Elite need to kind of start strong with their pay-per-view. And it's going to kind of almost matter again to have, for them anyway, for them the pay-per-view is going to have to matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. The pay-per-views are going to be have to be like of a high standard every time. Yeah. WWE got away with it mainly because, you know, there was no one competing with them.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I know people will say, well, New Japan, yeah, but New Japan was, you know, it's only after starting to move into the English-speaking market and stuff, like, people were watching it, but when you couldn't understand the commentary, like, people aren't, I don't know many people who are watching that week in, week out. They'll watch the big shows, like Wrestle Kingdom and stuff like that, but other than that, they're not watching it week by week. Now, some people obviously are, but not everyone is, so WWE already had them beat in that sense.
Well, I guess that's why I kind of came up with that idea. Well, not came up with that idea, but kind of threw that question to you, because if All Elite's pay-per-views are going to have to start to matter to keep the fan base and just for that little bit of, I guess, you know, competitiveness. I mean, that little bit of competition. WWE will say that, you know, AEW isn't competition for them, and they're not. However, knowing Vince McMahon the way he is, we can all kind of come to the assumption that he will look at that as competition. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is, as a wrestling fan, it's good for everybody, because obviously All Elite's pay-per-views are going to be phenomenal. I mean, hopefully, because they're going to put the effort. And their TV show will also be phenomenal, because obviously they'll want to kind of keep the viewers emotionally invested on a week-by-week basis so that their pay-per-views do sell going forward. Because obviously, let's be honest, their pay-per-view numbers now, or sorry, their sellout show now and the pay-per-view numbers on this one won't be a real true accurate number on how, you know, the fans feel about the product until we're maybe about 6 months to a year in. Because it's brand new, so of course, when something is new, people are going to, you know, buy into it. But yeah, obviously, you know, it's keeping the consistency going forward. This is why it is competition in a way, you know, and it's healthy competition for both companies, regardless of, you know, one company being bigger than the other.
See, I think All Elite will be able to do their pay-per-views fine, because they've already proved that they know how to put on a pay-per-view.
Sure.
That they have, and some of the talent they do have is quite big. And WWE can say, you know, oh, we don't see them as competition, but they're not letting guys go that aren't really doing it, because, you know, what if they go somewhere else and make it somewhere else? The real issue for AEW, and I maybe they will do well on this, but the televised programming, who's booking? Who's the writer? Who's the creative?
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting, because
very much so.
They, you know, oh, well, oh, but they had their YouTube show. Yeah, they did, but that's 15 minutes of content. And a lot of it is silly stuff, which helped build up to the pay-per-view. You know, they were able to build up the feuds on that, but that's only 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, how long the show is going to be? Is the weekly show going to be an hour? 2 hours? We haven't heard anything about that. But you have to fill all that in. Now, I understand that you can fill that in with having matches as well, but building into a pay-per-view is more than just who's the best wrestler. That's never really been it. Like, you need your stories. You need your this guy versus this guy, why they're fighting. Yeah, they can be fighting because they want the number one contendership and stuff, but not every match can be like that. I think some matches need to have a bit of a story behind them, and I'm wondering how they'll do in terms of booking that, because it's not the same as on an independent show. Because if you're trying to appeal to a larger audience, this is something that people say, oh, why don't we see this sort of thing on, like, we see it on independent shows, but we don't see it in WWE. Like, why don't WWE just do this? And, like, I'll use OTT as an example, because I actually did enjoy this when I was there. Like, maybe you wouldn't, but I really enjoyed this. They had a match where they were having, who was it? Trent Seven was pretending to be Vince McMahon coming out. He kept changing the match, and they had a steel cage match, but there was no steel cage. and they kept having these things, but they had to like pretend there was a steel cage. It's funny when you're there.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But that's not going to translate to the TV audience, is what you're saying. Like,
try sell that to an arena full of, you know, 10,000 people or whatever their numbers are, plus everyone on TV. It's funny when you're there live, but does it really translate to TV? And the Young Bucks, Cody and stuff, like they do know the business, but they've never had it in this sense, you know? And are they going to be able to do it week in?
Never produced TV, yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, to a scale, I mean, one of the great, like when you listen to even Eric Bischoff, you know, talking with Conrad Thompson on like 83 weeks and stuff like that, you kind of realize the logistics that goes into a TV show, like the certain amount of time that you have for this and certain amount of time for that. And then all in the process, still trying to get your show over, but also getting the main story over. You know what I mean? The fillers in between the matches, you know, like selling that upcoming pay-per-view, when to put that in at the right time. There's so many different little bits and pieces that go into it. And I do like agree. For example, you look at a small time, you look at a comedian like Ricky Gervais or something like, might be able to get away with more on a closed door, no camera policy TV show. Or sorry, like a comedy gig, should I say. Sorry, not TV show. You know, he's going to have a lot more kind of leeway to kind of mess around and bounce around. However, once you've got TV, it's a different story because you've got to translate that to the worldwide audience. And then you've got to be careful of what you say. So I understand the point that you're making there. In an independent show, you can really, the gloves are off. You can do what you want. You know what I mean? But Ryan isn't going away with having his dick out in, you know, on TBS at 9 p.m. or whatever. You know what I mean? So it's just, I understand exactly what you mean, yeah.
But not even that. Like, at the moment, like for Dublin or nothing, one of their big matches at the moment is the tag team match, the Young Bucks versus Rose. And they're selling that based on their, you know, their YouTube channel. And, you know, they have interferences and they have interactions with each other. And yeah, you could do those small interactions on a TV show. But then you've done that, right? What segment comes next? Okay, you have a match, but who's the match between? And once you've done that, right, okay, then what happens? And you have this for 4 or 5 weeks between pay-per-views. And I'm not saying that they have to be on TV every week, but it is more difficult and you have more time to fill. And I just wonder how they're gonna handle that. Like, I hope they do it well, but it's not as easy as I think some people, I think it's going to be for them.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's a lot of work. I mean, they've got some good people on board now. I think having JR on board is absolutely phenomenal because JR really is looking forward to the role of doing play-by-play, which I think is really going to help the TV side of things for sure. His passion for that is just unequaled, as we know. And regardless of age...
Backstage role as well, or is he just going to do comedy?
Well, that's the thing. I was listening to him talk about that, and he basically said at the moment he's not 100% sure. He's open to possibly taking the old role that he had with WWE, where it may be like a talent relations type role as well.
Yeah, so,
like they might be giving him that kind of thing. Which, I mean, in my opinion, I think that's brilliant. You know what I mean? I think it's absolute genius that he should be doing something like that. I think they should be looking at people. No, you know my opinion on this. I think they should be looking at people like Jim Cornette as well, because Jim Cornette is working with MLW at the moment. Jim Cornette has shown that even though he's not the biggest fan of the modern product in terms of the in-ring stuff and the kind of the flippy stuff, he still gets it over. Because if anyone you know, wants confirmation of that, all you need to do is watch his work on the MLW during WrestleMania weekend with the Battle Royale 2. I mean, he really got that show over on you know, when you were listening to it. So
yeah,
these are people that they should be looking at to kind of look at and lend a hand. And I think obviously JR is a good start. Billy Gunn as a backstage talent as well is really, you know, that's good. You know, they seem to be hiring the right people. I just hope they're going to put them in the right positions. And also, as you mentioned, not having basically the inmates run the asylum, i.e. Cody and the Bucks and and obviously Omega, you know, because if they're just booking themselves the way they want to on indie shows and stuff like that, well, then it's, you know what I mean? It will die very, very quickly, in my opinion.
Well, I don't think there'd be too much of a problem with them booking matches, even the ones they're in, because, you know, I don't think any of them are so egotistical that they're like, I'm not willing to lose a match here and there when it needs be. But
yeah, I'd agree with that, yeah.
The continuity of booking a series of TV every week. Now, maybe, like, I don't know anything about their TV deal. I won't pretend I do. Like, maybe they're going to have it sort of similar to Lucha Underground, which runs, you know, for a couple of weeks here and has a big pay-per-view, and then there's a break, and then another couple of weeks, and then a big pay-per-view. Maybe they're going to do that. But to do weekly, every week, episode after episode, every week, that is tough. You might think, you know, oh, we have 100 ideas. This will get us really far. 100 ideas isn't, you know, that might get you a year. And then you need to have 100 new ideas, or you need to recycle the ideas you've used. And if that happens, then people turn on you, you know. Oh, this is just a rehash of this. This is just this. Can they not do something new? Mm. So as much as I hope they do well, and I don't think they've set themselves out to compete with WWE, which is,
well,
smart. They shouldn't try and compete. Not yet, anyway. Make sure you're...
But the thing is, the TV company built it that way, though, you know? That's what you've got to remember. If you're getting a major network on board, it's only a matter of time before they expect competition, you know?
Yeah, but they need to get their feet under themselves first. Like, make sure that they've got everything ironed out. Like, you're going to have hiccups the first couple of shows and stuff like that. Get that ironed out. Maybe a year, 2 years down the line, you might decide you want to try and go to war with them. But I don't know. I don't know that anyone can really go to war with them just yet.
Well, they need to have, I agree with that. They need to have, and I mean this ironclad, they need to have their first 3 to 6 months of stories that they want absolutely ironed out right now, and have it slow build. You know what I mean? They have to have that. It can't be just a weekly thing where it's like, oh, we'll throw such and such in a match. Who's turned up today for work? Oh, we'll put them together. It has to be, you know, yeah, a direction that they're going in, and it has to kind of lead to it. I mean, there's a reason that the likes of Bruce Pritchard and guys like that have been signed back by WWE, because they were able, you know, the likes of Bruce is someone who was able to kind of see a year down the line, you know what I mean? Hence why so much of the old kind of, you know, late 80s and early 90s television worked, because
they built it as well, exactly.
They built it towards WrestleMania, so they had a year's worth of storyline in there. If there was changes that needed to be made in between, that's absolutely fine, because obviously, you know, shit happens at times, people get injured or whatnot, but as long as you have the core there, that's fine. We know where we're going. Whereas WWE at the moment doesn't really know what it's doing with the likes of Finn Balor. It doesn't really know what it's doing with the likes of such and such, you know what I mean? Because it's just so many. And I think, go ahead.
Like, if you think about, if you go WWE, if I said to you, name, you know, 20 people on that roster, you could do that. Like, click of your fingers, you'd have it done, right?
Yeah.
If I said to you, name 20 people off AEW, like, these guys have some, like, some of these are big, big names, but not all of them are. And you need to be building these guys up.
Exactly.
More, because if someone like, if say for imagine Omega, like, hopefully he doesn't, but if Omega picked up an injury next week, right, and he's now out of Double or Nothing, right, you need someone to step in there with Jericho. Who have you got?
Well, you need to build up the likes of Pentagon. The likes of Pentagon and guys like this, they're phenomenal talents. You need to make them a worldwide name. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you do. But like, even now at the moment, like, that's one of the unfortunate things for them. If one of the big names gets injured right now, like if Omega got injured now, and I'm sure they would find someone to go in there with Jericho, but it's not going to be Cody, because we're getting the Cody and
Goldust. Yeah.
Well, he's not Dustin Rhodes, which I am looking forward to. But like,
me too.
that match. But if, say, 6 months down the line, something happens to Cody or to one of the top stars, they need to have built people up to be able to step into that. And that's what WWE has. There's so many people that if Seth Rollins got injured, you have people that can step up to that mark straight away. And people say, oh, they're keeping him down. They're not really keeping anybody down too much. It's just they can't all be WWE champion, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's like, I look at, for me, one of my favorite, new talents that I've particularly enjoyed watching is Hangman Page. And obviously he got injured and stuff like that. And you're kind of going, there's a guy now who's a young buck that can, no pun intended, that can really kind of be a superstar for them. And you know what I mean? They've got the potential to make these stars. For example, Goldberg is case in point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
WCW did that, as well as WCW create, using the old guys like Savage and Hogan and Brett and Hennig and whoever else. They still did create some, just one or two stars where you were able to go, well, I mean, Goldberg is a world superstar. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Yeah, so well,
at the moment is kind of like in their mid-card at the moment. And it's not that he doesn't have the ability to make that step up, but just you need to, in their next few shows, like once they have that television rolling, they need to make it so that I can believe he is at that level, even if he's not wrestling there every week.
Exactly.
Just in case an injury comes up. And that's what they need to really build on. And if they have to move him up, they need someone that takes his spot. So they need to have somebody else built up to there. And the same with the tag teams, because if one tag team member gets injured, you need to have a new tag team that can rotate in. There's a lot of thought that needs to be put into running a weekly episodic show.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And it's not easy. I mean, we can all kind of fantasy book, and we all do. It's like picking your fantasy football team, you know what I mean? And you pick what team that you want to play, a certain team on a week-by-week basis.
Yeah.
Certain players may not play on a certain week because there may be certain instructions that they want to kind of provide to create a different scenario. Do you know what I mean? It's like FIFA. Everything's easy in FIFA, you know? But
yeah, do that in real life.
But then when you try it even on Championship Manager or Football Manager, you're like, whoa, maybe it is a little bit different, you know? It's just little things like that. And I think, listen, for me, I'm convinced that they'll do well. I'm hoping that they'll do well. It's just a case of getting the right boys on board. I'm glad that the likes of, Bischoff and Russo and all those guys are well away from it. You know what I mean? It's kind of the likes of TNA and all tried to go down that route and tried to bring that kind of stuff back. They've got wrestling people involved, and I think that boils down to the likes of Cody in particular.
Yeah.
Because Cody knows the game, knows the business. He's so I think that's a good thing. They brought the likes of Jim Ross in, as I said, who was just Mr. Wrestling, He will be able to translate those stories, on a broadcast journalism perspective, which I think that's a huge coup for me. For me, that's a huge coup.
Yeah, that's a big for them, all right, yeah.
It really is a huge coup. And I mean, the fact that Jim still has the passion and really wants to do the play-by-play thing, I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm surprised WWE actually let that slip, because for a lot of people, and Jim said it before, he was like, a lot of people thought I didn't want to do play-by-play anymore, but he did. They just didn't particularly want him doing play-by-play. So I think that's a huge coup for them. Then we've got, the likes of Billy Gunn backstage. As you said, who's going to be booking? That's the kind of key, who's going to be booking. It's got to be somebody that does have proper experience with it. Because, at the end of the day, the likes of Cody and the Bucks and Omega, they are still going to have to kind of have their mind in their own programs as well. So, you know, hearing from, you know, guys that worked in WCW before, for example, the likes of Kevin Nash and all, who was doing booking, he was still mainly concentrated on what he was doing. You know what I mean?
And yeah.
When he was booking, you could see the fact that he was booking, because it was a shit show, you know, for the rest of the booking. So.
Yeah, well, he's admitted himself that, you know, he booked the people he was friends with. Now, I like him, and nobody can say that they're completely impartial. If you're left complete control of a company, the people you're friendly with, you are going to look more favorably on them.
Of course, it's natural, but I mean, it's the whole click was the problem anyway. I mean, we've got to that between, you know, let's get away from AEW now, as because that's a nice little segue. I mean, we're looking at Dark Side of the Ring, and you're looking at the curtain call and stuff like that. You know, this is the kind of philosophy of guys like Scott Hall, who kind of go, oh no, it was just organic. We just went out and celebrated, and everyone loved it in the arena, but not everyone loved it in the world. Do you know what I mean? Not everyone in the world of wrestling loved it. Just because you enjoyed it, it didn't mean everybody else did. And you have to remember that, you know? That's why you need to have someone that is impartial booking and saying, no, this is what's happening. I don't really care whether your feelings are hurt. This is what we're doing, you know?
Yeah.
So it's true. Like, have you watched any of the Dark Side of the Ring episodes yet?
No, I haven't got around to watching any of that yet. I'm still too busy. No, just I'm so busy with stuff at work, and like when I get home, there's one or two things I can watch. I haven't got a chance to got around to like actually sit down and watch that yet.
Well, they are incredible. Like the first three episodes so far is obviously Macho Man Randy Savage and Elizabeth, the Killing the Bruiser Brody, and then obviously the Montreal Screwjob. And
yeah,
wow. They're really, really incredible. I'd recommend anybody listening here to go and check them out, because the guys really put the work in. They've got the likes of Jim Cornette, Bruce Pritchard, and obviously people that were there during the situation involved in each episode. So it's really like a true kind of account, of what really happened, you know?
Yeah.
And like I said, I always recommend people listen to Jim Cornette's podcast, but even go and check Jim Cornette's two podcasts based on the Montreal Screwjob too. It's really it's really cool. I mean, even Dave Meltzer talking about, you know, Vince McMahon by default coming out thinking he was cutting a babyface promo by saying Brett screwed Brett and automatically being a heel. You know, Jim was saying he knows firsthand account that, you know, Vince was obviously just butthurt, and the ego was hurt, because obviously he got knocked out by Brett pretty badly, you know. And by saying, oh, well, if it was a fair fight, it would have been a different opinion. But like Jim was saying, no, it was about to be a fair fight because Vince was trying to fight back and Brett just knocked him out. Very simple, you know. But that's what, it's amazing what can become such a big thing from something so organic, you know what I mean? Like, Vince became the biggest heel in wrestling history just from that. Yeah. You know? So I'd recommend definitely The Dark Side of Wrestling. It's on Voiceland TV. I'm not sure if it's still available here in Ireland at the moment, but you can definitely check it out. So I got it. So,
yeah, I'll find it somewhere, sure. It's always somewhere you can find everything like that.
We don't condone illegal streaming here on Dynamo's Doesn't Just, to make that very apparent and clear.
Yeah, we don't find it somewhere. It's never taken down completely. Like, it'll be on, if it's not on Netflix, it could be on, you know, MTV or
exactly. Like, but it's a really good show. I recommend it to anybody that's interested in that kind of, you know, even if you don't know anything about someone like Bruiser Brody, for example, it's a really worthwhile show to watch and listen to the story and just listen to how horrible it is. You know what I mean? So. I'd recommend it to people. Getting away from that, then, I guess, is Avengers everything that it's people are saying it is?
Yeah, well, I really enjoyed it. Like, it, you know, there's obviously people who are going to watch it and they're going to be like, oh, I didn't like that, but I did like this. I enjoyed it the whole way through. Like, you know, I've been watching Marvel films since they came out, so I think that's 10 years now, you know, it's 10 years in the making to get up to the end of this. So you know, if you're that invested in something, you're going to enjoy the end of it as well, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm the same. So, like, I'm really kind of looking forward to it. So, and obviously, we're not giving any spoilers away, but it sounds like it's one of the most incredible kind of culminations to a series, you know?
That's yeah. It is very good. It's, like, I'd give it a 10 out of 10, like, the, you know, but well, I think
from you, Ted, I mean, from anyone that's listened to you before, even on this podcast, I mean, some of my listeners know exactly who Ted Irving is now. You would not give a 10 out of 10 very easily.
No, but part of that's probably based on the fact that I've been drawn into it as well, you know?
You're
like, I have invested into it. I have an investment in the films, in the characters, everything like that. I mean, it's still no Space Jam, but
this is going to be the long continuing gimmick from Ted. It's
Space Jam is the greatest film ever made.
Well, then, how do you feel about the R. Kelly situation? Do you think even without the song?
I mean, the song is just part of it. You know, that's fine. But the film itself, the song isn't the greatest song ever made. But that film is the greatest film ever made.
Well, we know what the greatest song of all time is. It's Tenacious D. It's called the best song in the world, the greatest song in the world. So, I mean, that's
they couldn't remember the greatest one. That was only a tribute to it.
That is true. Yeah. 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 No, that's fair enough. Thank you for correcting me on that one.
Yeah. No.
It was nearly the greatest song in the world.
Yeah, it was nearly close, but they couldn't remember everything.
It started off as the greatest. Yeah.
They're facing the devil, you know. You're not going to remember it.
That is true. I mean, like, you start a song off being the greatest and best song in the world, and then you kind of realize, oh, no, it's not. This is actually just a tribute, so.
Yeah, this isn't as fun as it was, but, I mean, you know, you're not faced with the devil anymore.
Yeah, so they had to do what they had to do, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's good. That's good. What about Game of Thrones? It's got a lot of people talking. Seen episode 10.
Wait for this to come to an end as well. Like,
yeah, I mean, this is going to be like, we have to be very careful what we talk about here, because obviously, we don't want to give anything away. You've seen episode 3, so you kind of know what's already happened. However, let's talk about it just as a critic, then, would be the best way of doing it. How have you enjoyed it so far, and how, like, has it lived up to your expectations? That would be the best way of saying it, actually, rather than talk what's happened.
The most recent episode, or just this series?
The first three so far. I mean, obviously, everyone thought we were all getting six, you know, hour and a half long episodes, and then that changed very quickly. So, shout out to HBO on that one.
I'm happier that they're not all hour and a half long episodes.
Well, it hasn't bothered me so far. So I'll be honest with you. You know yourself. You always want more. That's just a human thing. Yeah, like, I always want more.
I was gonna say that the first two episodes, there was nothing more I wanted from them. But
a lot of people were very disappointed in how you know, because they kind of sold it as the fact that it would be that way, and then like just didn't even tell anyone, oh yeah, the first one's only going to be 50 minutes, by the way.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? I thought that was bad on the producers, and well, not on the producers, but on the marketers. It was a bit stupid, I thought, more than anything.
I don't
agree with you there on that one, surely. You know what I mean? Don't
silly to say that they were all going to be that long, but at the same time, was like those first two episodes, I'd like, as you said, if they'd given me more, I would have taken more, but I don't think I needed any more in those two episodes. I thought they were, I know some people complained that, oh, they're just filler because there was no battles and there was no fights.
The first one, I thought they crammed a lot in. They crammed a lot in the first one. I could have just maybe extended it by another 20 minutes just to kind of put some more meat on the bones. But in terms of, like, that's the only criticism I have of it. I don't actually have any criticism. I don't think they've done anything wrong. I just think that they don't missell the concept. You know what I mean? Because it's only six episodes, you know. So don't be saying episodes are all going to be feature-length movies, and then they're not, you know?
Yeah, but also similar to, you know, like, this whole thing is kind of similar to the way the Harry Potter series went. There's only meant to be 7 books. So getting an 8th series is kind of just like that. This should still be the 6th or the 7th series. They just decided, just more money to be made in splitting it again.
Yeah, no, that's true. But like, forget about that anyway. They're the only little qualms I had. They're not even qualms as such. It's just more, give me more.
But,
thing, that's all.
I've enjoyed everything. Like some people I heard, or I didn't hear, but like you see it online, there are people complaining. Oh, there was a lot. Those first 2 episodes were just filler. No, they're not filler. Like, they're the build up. Just because there's not a fight doesn't mean it can be thrown away. If you don't have those first 2 episodes and you just jump straight into a big fight, you know, you don't get the little things, you know, you don't get the meeting of.
I agree.
John. Yeah. You don't get Jorah and Lyanna Mormont. You don't get all these little meetings of people coming back together.
Yeah.
And understanding. Oh yeah, they did know each other before. And they have a history. Like, you might remember it, but you don't remember how much they were tied together at one point during the show.
Yeah.
I thought the first 2 episodes were brilliant. Like, they didn't give me any battles, but then that all led up to this episode, which
it's just non-stop action. It's just non-stop action. Like, it's fucking.
Tell me, it's a spoiler. Like, you were told at the end of episode 2 that the White Walkers are outside. They're hardly going to sit there for, you know, an hour and 20 minutes worth of an episode. Well, there's a fight.
This is exactly it. I mean, for anybody, I mean, if you haven't, you know, spoiler alert, if you want to switch off right now, do. That's fine. But by now, if you're a big Game of Thrones fan, you should have caught up on episode 2 at least. So obviously at the end of episode 2, you see them all looking over the wall. You almost feel as a fan that you're actually there with them. You're going, oh shit. Shit's just got real, because you had that really kind of cool moment where everyone's sitting around the fire in the hall in Winterfell, and they're kind of, you know, they're talking about, you know, they're drinking wine and they're just kind of catching up, and herself was knighted and everything, you know, by Jaime Lannister, and it was just really kind of cool moments, you know what I mean?
I really want to know, like, I hope they come back to the whole the chat that Tyrion has with Bran, because they show you that they've had a chat.
Yes.
You don't get to see what they've talked about. Like, I hope that there's some information in that in the later episodes.
No, I agree.
Like, I agree. Hope that's not just a throwaway. Oh yeah, they had a chat. Like, and I don't think it will be, because it very rarely is anything in Game of Thrones just a throwaway sort of thing. It's all leading somewhere.
Let's look at this, you know, what the last 2 things that we've talked about, yeah. And look at it in a black and white scenario. Forget about ratings and all these studies and shit like that. Let's just go out on a limb. Are Avengers and Game of Thrones respectively the best movie franchise and the best TV show of all time?
Marvel is probably, yeah, the Marvel Avengers is probably the greatest. It's definitely, for me, probably the longest TV or film franchise. Lord of the Rings were great.
Yeah.
But they weren't as long in terms of, it wasn't 10 years waiting. And there's only the 3 films, because there was the 3 books, which is the right way to have done it. Like, sure. That is the way it's been done.
Yeah, but Marvel can kind of do what they want, because, I mean, the comics are still going, yeah.
The Harry Potters, the films are fine, but they don't live up to the books for me.
Okay. Well, I'm not a Harry Potter fan. I don't know enough about it. I've never read the books. I've never seen the films. However, I was in Orlando, Florida, and seen Harry Potter Land, and it's fucking incredible. So I am going to get around to it.
Don't watch the films. Just sit down and read the books. Like, genuinely.
I prefer to read the books, yeah.
if anyone ever asked me, you know, oh, I'm looking to get into reading, or like I just want to read something, like I haven't really been reading much. If they haven't read them, that is, if you want to get into reading, that is like the perfect starting point, because they're easy to read. You know, they are, in air quotes, children's books. So
it's not like Game of Thrones, where like you've got to read the books and be fucking absolutely lost. Like I know.
Yeah. Something you can read for an hour and then you're like, I need to put that down because I need to process what I've just read. That's not like that with Harry Potter. You can read for as long as you kind of want, and it all flows. It's nice. It's a nice, easy flow. That is the perfect point if someone isn't really into reading, and if they are into reading and haven't read that, because they have this idea that they're children's books. They're not children's books. Like, these are really good. Like, they are. That's probably my favorite series of books that I've read.
Sure. Well, that's good. No, that's good stuff. I mean, and you're not the first person I've heard say that, and I'm sure you're not the first person that.
No, I haven't. I gave a Game of Thrones books behind me,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't read them, only because I bought them and was about to start reading them, and I said I can't read these, because if that lad doesn't finish writing these books, even though I know the end because I've watched the TV series, it will annoy me that I can't finish reading these books.
So you're like, looking forward to reading them once the show's over?
No. When he finishes writing book 6 and then finishes writing book 7, I will read his books. But until then, I'm kind of like, I need him to finish them, because I'll always be left, you know, unfinished if I start reading them now.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. It's, I would go out on a limb and say, like, I mean, I think, you know, there's no right way. It's always going to be opinion. And this is obviously why we're having a little bit of a mess here. You know, with saying it's the best kind of, you know, best group of movies or the best group, best TV series. I mean, for me, I would have to put it as the best TV series. I mean, I was late into the Game of Thrones game. I got into it just before last season, actually.
I watched everything, 1 to 5, and started in 6.
Yeah, so I got into everything. We've talked about this before, actually. I got into it, you know, kind of late, and I kind of, because everybody, I worked with Sky Television before and stuff like that, so I knew how big of a deal it was. I just had so many other things to watch in so little time. And then there was a period where I was like, okay, I've got some time now. I'm going to just go hell into the first season of Game of Thrones. And even the people I've heard say that they've seen the first season, but then, you know, still haven't gone back to the next one. I'm going, wow. Because I was just emotionally hooked straight away.
Oh, yeah. I binge-watched. Once I started it, I've been like, I have no idea. When someone says to me, oh, do you remember in season 1, 2, 3? I have no idea what season that is. Because yes. I literally binged. Like, within 3 days, I'd watch. Like, well, probably wasn't 3 days. Within a week, though, like, I had watched season 1 to season 5. I was off work for the week, and I literally watched all the way through that and caught up to season 6 and started watching season 6.
Well, that's what happened to me. I binged, so I didn't even take time to process what was happening. I was just like, come at me, you know? Yeah. So, but look, I mean, it's incredible. It's going to be an incredible too. It's just fine work, you know, from a TV point of view. It is like watching a movie anyway. It's just incredible. So, but look, I mean, without giving anything else away, we'll kind of, I guess we'll leave it there a little bit. It was just a nice little podcast where we kind of talked, shot the shit about some stuff, and definitely, we're looking forward to kind of what's to come in Game of Thrones. Obviously, Avengers is done. We're also looking forward to what's to come in All Elite. And yeah, it's going to be phenomenal. So,
but like, you haven't seen Avengers yet, have you?
No, I'm going to see that tomorrow.
And you haven't heard, like, you haven't read or heard any spoilers for it?
Nothing. I've stayed away from everything.
I have, and I won't correct you or say anything, because I have seen it. But do you want to give us your predictions on who lives and who dies throughout the film?
Oh, you kind of put me on the spot there now.
I won't confirm or, you know, deny anything you say.
You just want to hear from me from a completely unknown perspective.
I had mine before I went into the film.
I have it. You see, I've tried to stay away from it because I don't want anyone to die, but I have a feeling that, I don't know, I just have a feeling that Iron Man's in trouble. That's kind of one of my, I don't know why, it's just a feeling. Who else? Yeah, like, you've kind of got me there. Man, like, I mean, I felt Cap was in trouble as well, but I was like, they can't do that. Do you know what I mean? They can't do that. And then, I think Hawkeye, obviously, I had a feeling he would go too. Yeah, it's actually too much for me to think about now, to be honest with you. You put me on the spot with it there. They would be the three. I had a feeling Hulk would die, actually. I had a feeling Hulk would die. Thor.
I'm just thinking from, do you remember when the first Infinity Wars came out?
Yeah, of course.
Everyone had been watching, and, you know, we'd had all these stories of, oh, people's contracts are up and this is their last film and stuff. And I went into that watching it being like, you know, I'd heard Tony Stark's contract was up, heard Captain America's contract was up, I'd heard all these contracts were up, and I was like, right, it's Infinity Wars, somebody needs to die. And I was just like, you know, by the way, spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen Infinity Wars, like, that's your problem. Not mine.
Yeah, if you're gonna complain on Dynamo's Dozen about fucking not seeing Infinity Wars, well then, too bad. You know what I mean? Yeah.
This has nothing to do with Endgame. This was the previous film. If you haven't watched that, that is your problem. Like,
don't go and play this film if you have not seen Infinity Wars. Like, please don't.
Exactly. Yeah. But I was convinced that, you know, Iron Man was dying, Captain America was dying. Like, I had this list of people in my head. I was like, they're all definitely dead because their contracts are up. It had, like, they have to be dead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they might come back in the next one just as like a cameo because they'll be dead by the end of this one. But then Infinity Wars ended and it wasn't them. It was like Spider-Man was gone. And nobody expected that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure.
America and Iron Man were both still alive. You know, and everyone was like, oh, but their contracts are over. Well, clearly not. They clearly had one more, at least.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
To do, like, they obviously had to the very end to end game. Now, whether they had something after that or not, that hasn't been released by Marvel, which is smart because I'm glad I don't know that. But you, I remember going into Infinity Wars being ready. I was ready to say goodbye to Iron Man. I was ready to say goodbye Captain America, but I wasn't expecting Quill, you know, Spider-Man, all these people. I wasn't a Bucky, like, I wasn't expecting all these guys to be gone
in Infinity Wars, like,
yeah, Infinity Wars, because I came out with that being like, oh shit, like, those aren't the people I thought I was saying goodbye to in this film. But I thought, oh, I'll say goodbye to them and these guys will be there as the future, but that wasn't the way, and that got me.
Yeah.
So that's what way you were thinking for this one.
Yeah, understand that. I think what I've done is emotionally segregated myself from this film.
Yeah.
Last one was really, like, I mean, the last two Marvel movies that I'd seen, obviously with Infinity Wars, but then obviously with the Wolverine film as well, I was just like, oh shit. I mean, the Wolverine film is one of the most emotional films I've ever seen in a film, in a movie. You know.
Yeah.
In the cinema, I'm even fucking messing my words up here. That was one of the, like, most incredible movies of all time. But, I mean, one of the most emotionally kind of draining movies of all time as well. If you're into the Marvel Universe and stuff like that, it is, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I understand that, like, you know, comics are still going on and blah, blah, blah. And Wolverine might be dead in one thing, but in a different universe, he might be in a different, you know, he might be fine. It's just... Yeah. It's that, like, it's that film, you know, takes it out of you. And then obviously Infinity Wars, the way it ended, with everything being fucked up, you were just like, whoa. I mean, what a way to fucking leave me here, do you know?
But like when you went into Infinity Wars, I'm sure you were the same as me. You'd read about, you know, contract situations.
Oh, sure. I was told about it. I didn't read up on it, but I was told about it. Yeah, sure.
And you expected, like you'd gone in ready for certain characters to be gone.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You know, they got you because, you know, if you'd walked out of that, of Infinity Wars and Iron Man was dead, you'd be like, you know, I kind of knew that was happening. But they gave you the old bait and switch.
Yeah.
And that's why I was wondering, like, for someone, because when I went into Endgame, I had in my head, I was like, okay, I had this list where I was like, okay, this person's probably going to be gone and this person's going
to... I thought Nick Fury would be in the last one, actually. There you go. I thought Nick Fury would be gone in the last one. And then, like, when you kind of saw Nick Fury kind of getting to the car and picking up the little gimmick, I was like, what the fuck is happening here? Like, you know?
Yeah.
It was just, it was weird. Like, it was really, really weird. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it tomorrow now, man. I definitely am.
Yeah, man. You'll enjoy it. It's 3 hours. And some people say that's long. But, like, if you ever watched Lord of the Rings, they're all 3 hours. You know, it's not, this isn't some, like, you know, real new thing. It's just the longest Marvel film. It's not the longest film ever made, though.
No, Jesus Christ. I mean, no. Jesus. Like, it's
down and watch that for 3 hours. Would you stop? You can.
Well, that's it. Don't go to the cinema with beers on you and have to go and pee every 2 minutes. Go to the cinema. Have your food beforehand. Have a nice little meal beforehand.
Don't be getting up even during the film. Like, stay seated.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Go have your meal beforehand. This is what we always do. Always go get some food beforehand. So you've got a 30-minute gap for the food to go down. Then you go in and get your popcorn and your drink. Large. Got to be large.
Yeah. And
just enjoy the fucking film.
Do you know? Yeah. Where are you going to see it?
Going to see it tomorrow in Dublin City Centre. Yeah, going to go and see it on Parnell Square. The, what's it called? Sorry, the Woolshed. What's the name of it? It's not the Odeon. Cineworld.
Oh, Cineworld, yeah.
World, yeah. Gonna go and see Cineworld. Gonna get some Baskin Robbins and get some popcorn and pig out. And that'll be my... So Tuesday is Ian's cheat day tomorrow.
Yeah. Sorry, did you book like far back or just any old ticket would do?
Oh, no, we'll be front and center, man. I have no problem pulling people out of seats. It's fine.
I booked mine for Dundrum, like... I emailed them because normally they have them on sale, you know, a couple of weeks beforehand.
Sure.
And I was just like, man, just like when these go on sale, email me back. And emailed me, and I bought my tickets straight away, front and center, right up at the back of Dundrum's, the mezz, which is like the, you go upstairs.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible. I've seen it. Yeah, it's incredible.
I was like, there's no way I'm not sitting in the comfortable seats for this now.
Yeah. Well, that's it. And listen, for just so everyone knows, and I needed to mention this, 61% of the audience in Dynamo's Dozen is now the United States of America and Canada. So for all you guys, we do apologize that you don't know where we're talking about. That just gives you more reason to come over and visit Ireland. Isn't that right, Ted?
Yeah, well, fuck you guys. You just don't walk anywhere. Sent me on a wild goose chase when I asked you to get somewhere. You're fucking, do you have a car? No, I don't fucking have a car. Tell me the direction.
We'll be in you next year anyway, USA.
Next year. You better build some fucking footpaths for me to walk on.
Well, we're gonna be in Tampa next year for WrestleMania. So we'll be I'm sure we'll get some sort of Dynamo's Dozen gimmick going on somewhere. So you'll be able to come and give out to us in some way, shape, or form, if that's the case. And, hey, you might even see me in a wrestling ring near you in Tampa. Who knows? Dun, 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 dun. And on that note, Ted Irving, let's finish the show. Thank you very much. I just want to thank everyone. And thank everyone that's been listening today. It's been just a little bit of fun between two friends. I hope you enjoyed it. That's the way a podcast should be. It should be just two boys having a chat. Coming up over the next couple of weeks, I can announce Mr. Corvin will be coming back to the show. That's right. Damien Corvin will be coming back to the show. I know you've been looking forward to Corbin coming back for a while, Ted.
But I'm not buying another t-shirt off him.
Well,
fuck it. Well, I was buying one anyway, but the two boys didn't have any money, and that didn't matter to him. They were buying t-shirts, and that was the end of it.
Well, that's it. That's how good a worker Corbin is. Well, listen, you're going to buy a t-shirt off a vampire always. Vampire looks into your eyes, you're going to buy it. You know what I mean? That's Dracula shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, a guy that size tells me, here, you're buying a t-shirt. Oh, well, probably I'm actually then. Yeah, okay.
That's exactly it. Yeah, yeah. 10 out of 10 to you, Damien Corbin.
Yeah.
But, there's going to be a couple of guys. Obviously, I did want to mention a while back that the reason that a couple of the podcasts got delayed over the last couple of weeks is Dan Severn was meant to be on one. People may have heard Dan Severn's actually in hospital at the moment. It's nothing too serious, thankfully. But he will still be on it at some point. And so that will be cool. That will be cool, actually, being able to talk to Dan Severn, because we can talk UFC and wrestling as well. You're talking about one of the innovators of the UFC, but also someone that tried to kind of keep the NWA title alive at a period when it was even on a WCW or WWE programming. A lot of you remember. So yeah, there's lots coming up. I'm still working away, trying to get the show that you all want to hear every week. And it is still your favorite podcast, even if you tell yourself it's not. It is. And it is still the best podcast of wrestling form and entertainment form in Ireland. And Ted, you will agree with that. So we're not going anywhere. There's lots more to come. And all I'll say, guys, is guys and girls, actually, enjoy Infinity Wars. Enjoy Game of Thrones. If you haven't watched, sorry, I said enjoy Infinity Wars. Enjoy Endgame. For people that haven't enjoyed Infinity Wars, also enjoy Infinity Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So at least you'll know what we're talking about then.
Yeah. If you haven't watched Space Jam, go enjoy that. It's the greatest film ever made.
Of course, man. It stars such stars as Bugs Bunny and, you know.
That's Michael Jordan. Not the new Michael Jordan, the original Michael Jordan.
The original Michael Jordan's in it, but also the original Bugs Bunny's in it. So, if you don't like
Bill Murray.
If you don't like Bugs Bunny people, go fuck yourself.
And Bill Murray, he's there too.
Listen, I didn't want to give it away, but you're at the throwing it in there. I was wanting to keep that as a surprise, much like Zombieland. People didn't need to know Bill Murray was in Zombieland, but as soon as you see it, you're like, oh, this is the best movie ever. So, but then
it's not. Space Jam is.
Yeah, exactly. And Bill Murray's in both.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Tribute is not the greatest song in the world. It's just a tribute. So, on that note, Ted, let's say sayonara. Thank you very much for coming on again.
And yeah, cheers.
We will definitely hear from you soon on the show. There is no doubt about that.
Indeed, yeah.
And for that, Dynamo is over and out.